Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to take a bite out of the competition? Are you looking for ideas to make your business better? Welcome to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.
Sponsored by Apple Capital Group.
At the core of every successful business, you'll find people making a difference. And with each episode of the Core Business Show, we talk with those people, examine those ideas, and explore the strategies that make them special. Now, the host of the Core Business Show, Tim Jacquet.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Core Business Show. I'm Tim Jacquet, your host. Today, our topic today is going to be commercial real estate financing and investing. Our special guest today is Stephen Mocco. He is with Mocco Investments. If you want to call in, you can call in to the studios at 347-324-3460. You can post a question in the chat room, and we're going to read the question out on the air. Stephen, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good morning. Thank you. I guess to tell us, to begin with, our listeners like to hear personal stories on how a person gets started. So if you don't mind sharing this with us, tell us about yourself and tell us how you start your business.
Well, I've been in the commercial real estate and investment business and a banker for, I guess, about 20 years. I've been an executive and been in a business a long time. Started out as a banker working with Bank of America and NetBank and some of those banks that are out there, and got to the point where started managing some of our own money and making some of these deals happen. So, you know, overall, I'd say my experience and background is about 20 years now.
Wow. Tell us in a series of what it really takes to get a bank loan today?
Well, depending upon the type of loan that you're looking for, especially today, there's a lot of money that's been dried up depending upon the type of asset you're looking to acquire. But pretty much today, you're probably looking at putting about 30 to 40% of cash injection into the project that you're looking to do or the asset you're looking to acquire. Usually with our situation, what we look for are groups that the first thing in our process is that you'd need to present us with an executive summary, giving us a brief about what you're looking to purchase, what you're looking to acquire, and the history that you've had behind it, why you're looking to purchase, and what you're going to do with it, and how you plan to repay. So having a strong exit strategy is very important for us. And, of course, once you put the cash that you're going to put into the property, more importantly, what your cash position looks like after you've injected that capital. So some of those things are really important, looking at least a three-year history on the business and seeing how over, say, the last 2-3 years, how the company has made its money, its operations, its capital returns, and you know, how it's able to maintain cash and how it's using it, and how the capital is going to be there to obviously pay back our loan.
Wow. So what are the common things that you normally see that that always brings a red flag and say, why did they give us this information? Kind of tell us some stories you see over and over again. They keep making the same mistakes.
You know, one of the biggest issues we've had when we've looked at deals, and again, a lot of the groups that we work with from the financing standpoint, you know, a lot of these are hedge funds or private investors that will bring the money to the table. So we pretty much do a lot of the underwriting, you know, up front for these groups, and so we're looking at a lot of these packages. But the biggest thing that we probably see a lot of is a badly written business plan. You know, and a business plan tells us a story, because you know it's really important as to who, what, where, how you know, you plan on paying this money back, and and a lot of times what we have found is that it's not a good story, and it's a poorly put together package, you know, or there are missing things in the package, or you know, they're not able to provide solid numbers that's obviously going to be able to demonstrate their ability to repay back that money. So I would say that probably from our experience, the biggest thing has been, you know, the business plan. I mean, as far as, you know, some of the things that would typically hurt a deal as far as personal credit and that sort of thing is important. But if you can demonstrate in a business plan that, yes, I had this bankruptcy maybe 3 years ago or 2 years ago, or I had this issue with my credit 2 years ago or 3 years ago, and this is what I've done since to rebuild it, and you can demonstrate that pretty effectively, we're comfortable with looking at that loan. So, you know, as far as what you look for when you underwrite a file, or what we look for that's important to our customers, is, again, not only the cash that you can put into it, but, you know, what is your cash position after you've put that in there? You know, the type of asset, real important also, really, really important, because today trying to get construction money is very difficult, even though today we'll look at it depending upon the type of asset that you're looking to acquire. The thing that's been very popular for us these days has been the single-tenant type properties, and like somebody wanting to, for example, acquire a Walgreens with a 20-year lease on it is something we really specialize in because of the high-grade level of the tenant, such as Walgreens, for example. And okay. So, you know, again, it comes down to what is the asset? You know, what are you looking to do with it? Is it something you're planning on just to hold on to for the income? Or, you know, are you looking to buy it and, you know, do something else with it? Demonstrate that effectively in a business plan. And don't give us more information than we need to know. And don't give us too little information also. We're happy to tell people what we expect in a business plan. That is not a problem.
Okay. So we talk about that story initially regarding the business plan. What type of things that they need to be prepared or need things need to be in that business plan that is not too wordy or is not hitting on the right points? What points are they really, A, B, and C, that they really need to hit?
Well, you know, some of the basics of finance and financial capability, you know, who is the business? You know, what is the business? What does the business do? The history of the business, how has it been successful, how has it gotten a loan in the past and repaid it back effectively? You know, if you can demonstrate that, look, we got three loans in the last, you know, 5 years or 10 years, and the three loans, this is who we got it from, this is how much it was for, and this is how we paid it back. You know, that's a real, for us, it's a power statement. That's one big deal. Another is the principles, how strong the principles are. You know, what they've done in their past, their experience, and how it relates to the funding they're looking for. Because if you're looking for funding for a particular type project and your background is in something completely different, you know, it's something that's a red flag for us, you know, because we're wondering how are you going to be able to manage this project or be able to do what you say you can. You know, if you're a builder, building multifamily apartment buildings, for example, and, you know, you've done property management for X amount of years and you come to us for a building loan because you want to build more buildings, yeah, we're happy to look at you. But if you're a builder and you're coming to us because you're looking to start up an ethanol plant, you know, that's a red flag for us because we're wondering, okay, who's going to manage this asset? You know, how is this business going to be successful? It's not your background. So there are just some key elements. So, A, the financial position. B, their ability to pay back, the strength of the principles, you know, how it relates to what they're looking to do. Their background's really important. You know, and at the end of the day, when it comes down to us doing our numbers and the spreads, as long as the spreads, the numbers make sense for us and it sits, the ratios are all right, and there's enough cash in the project, there's no reason we can't look at it, and there's no reason our investors wouldn't be interested in doing the deal.
So what's a realistic time frame a person needs to really to expect and getting a project financed from A to Z once they turn in the application?
I would say 60 to 90 days is realistic. Have we gotten things done within 45 days? Yes. If we get a clean package, there's cooperation, and we're able to put everything together within 45, 60 days is average.
Okay. And, again, those type of things that you highlighted earlier is what you normally look for. Is that always like a check sheet that, hey, you, of course, you got to have your story, you have to have your financials,
yep.
you need to have a resume,
yep.
those type of things. Anything beyond that they really need to include?
Well, our first step, and you've stated it well, our first step, Tim, is that we, you know, once you come to us for financing, we like to see a 2 or 3 page executive summary, personal financial statements from all principals, a resume, and that's a starting point for us. Once we get that and we look at the deal and it makes sense and the numbers all match and all that, yes, we can, then at that point we'll give you a checklist of what we need to move the project along. Now, earlier I mentioned also about the putting 30 to 40% down on deals. We can look at financing. We can do potentially even up to 100% financing as long as they fall into the single-tenant type properties that I was talking to you about. If you've got an asset with 15 years or longer lease terms on it, you know, we can do potentially up to 100% financing on them. So, and that has to be, of course, single-tenant type property. If they've got something that fits in there in that sort of class, we'd be very interested in seeing that. Even construction, we can do potentially up to 100% as long as the tenant's strong and it's a long lease.
Okay, so, you know, of course, if you have Walgreens or CVS or something like that, that's pretty easy. But when you have a strip center, however, that Kroger is going in, that's fairly new, nice high area, there's an immediate need. You know that in this particular part of town, there is not another Kroger nearby. You know, some people shop at Target, but some people really need to have the real grocer there. And they're going to, in order for it to make sense, they're going to have to not only have Kroger there, but some other type of tenants there in order to spread the risk. Well, when those type of scenarios, what do you normally look at? Yeah, you have this one single tenant, but usually Kroger don't want to be there by themselves.
Sure.
They're usually going to spread the risk out with some other stores to help anchor it.
Uh-huh. Well, in those sorts of situations, depending upon the specifics of it, again, as long as from our standpoint we can demonstrate there is we got the situation where maybe there are multiple, you know, tenants, but there's one tenant that we can use to demonstrate and show a long-term lease of 15 years or longer, excuse me, and show a strong, stable tenant, and the rating is right, we can pull up Moody's and get a great rating on them. And as long as we can demonstrate some of those things, we are able to even put those sorts of types of deals together, depending, again, on the circumstances and how we can make it happen. And it's not limited to any particular specific asset class. It can pretty much be anything across the board, as long as it you know, some of those things are in place as far as the strength of the tenant being a good, great tenant and being a long lease.
Okay. We're going to take a station break real quick. We'll be back in a moment to talk more about real estate with Stephen Boca. Be back in one moment.
You're listening to the Core Business Show, sponsored by Apple Capital Group. Apple Capital Group in Jacksonville, Florida is a commercial lender that specializes in asset-based loans, equipment leasing and financing, invoice financing, commercial real estate loans, and asset-based financing in the U.S. and Canada. Apple Capital Group is a direct lender that lends on their private equity investment portfolio. 90% of most loans are decided within 2 hours, and vendor funding within 24 hours after documents are completed with a one-page application. No slow no's, just a quick decision and a fast yes. To get more information about lending from Apple Capital Group, call 866-611-7457. That's 866-611-7457 to speak with one of our loan specialists. Or visit us right now at applecapitalgroup.com. Welcome back to The Core. Once again, here's Tim Jacquet.
Well, we're back with Stephen Abulko again. We're talking about commercial real estate financing. Stephen, I have a question real quick. When you're talking about credit, and you mentioned just before the break regarding Moody's, of course, a lot of people are familiar with Dun & Bradstreet Street. If you don't mind, kind of tell us what credit agencies you normally look at in order to make this assessment.
We would look at, you know, some of the standard ones like Experian, and there are some other private groups that we use. But pretty much one of the first steps to our process is pulling up something like a Moody's and getting a report. We'll do a Dun's report and get a look at what the Dun's report looks like. We'll pull up, as I mentioned earlier, an Experian report and look at that. And looking at a number of those reports and then obviously doing some other review as far as having some of our third parties do some additional research on the business. Once we've been able to put some of those numbers to put some of those, that research together, we're able to determine the quality, you know, of the tenant, because groups like Moody's can give you a pretty detailed report pretty much, you know, on any business. And of course any Dun's report can go into some detail that's very helpful in doing underwriting. And of course, you know, your experience, some of the other groups out there, you know, again, get into more specifics too. And if you want to get something on the principles, we're able to do that too.
Okay. What type of investigation you normally do? I think you mentioned a third party. Of course, we had the movies, the Dun & Bradstreet Experian, the Equifax, and so forth. But in taking all of that, what you're doing is construction pieces and seeing how they overlap. Why so many bureaus?
Well, you know, again, it depends on the circumstances. And if we're doing an underwrite and if there are any red flags that lead us to look in more detail, we have access to all these different reports that we can obviously access to make sure that we're looking at the right information and making the right assessment. The last thing we want to do is base our review on limited information. We think that the more information we have, the better. You know, is it every situation that we pull every single report that's needed for it? No, there are some situations where we may not pull all those reports or even go into the amount of detail that we've done. You know, sometimes what will happen is once the loan has gone through a place of even closing in our risk process, post-closing process, we would do an additional review and maybe look at a little bit more, you know, detail just to make sure that, you know, everything fits and makes sense. So there's a lot of due diligence that's done throughout the process of the loan from an inception to the time we close and, of course, you know, transfer the rights and everything.
Okay. What are usually the red flags that pops up and when you're in the midst of full underwriting that you say, hey, we didn't tell us that? And they maybe didn't leave it out intentionally. They maybe just forgot it because when they sit there and as many hours put into these documents, some things they were going to forget. So what are the common things that you normally run across in that process?
Well, you know, sometimes I guess one of the big things that, you know, we have seen is that simple things like, you know, and it's very simple. A simple thing is like a business name change. And maybe the old business, you know, had some hits on it that, you know, they're trying to change the business name for whatever reason, thinking that it wouldn't be caught. But, you know, those sort of things, you know, we come back to you and say, hey, this was your name before and it's been, you know, your name's been changed, you know, what's the situation here? And they'll come back to us and explain to us, well, there's no real reason. They'll give us some whatever their explanation may be. Well, that's a red flag for us. We need to now look more in detail and look into it. The other thing is a principal tells us, you know, they've never had any credit issues in the last 10 years. You know, we do a pull a basic report and, you know, find something on there that concerns us. We've got to look into more detail, because now that we're having to look into that, it just opens the can of worms for us in other areas. You know, something that they mention in a business plan that doesn't match with the history of the company, you know, that will trigger additional review and have to go through somewhere else for them to do more detail. So, you know, it could be as simple as a business name change to a bankruptcy sitting on someone's credit that we weren't told about. Or,
well, yeah.
Okay, go ahead. You know, and again, those things would trigger, you know, additional review from us.
Okay. So, for example, when you have those type of situations, say, okay, they forgot something. You know, some people think that not giving the whole story at the very beginning is going to derail their project. Maybe they have some bumps and bruises. Should you go to the point and just throw everything at the person, everything that's, you know, you gave all the good stuff. Hey, I'm going to sit down before we submit this this application to you. Let me go over some things that I'm just thinking on top of my head, just to be straightforward with you, and say, hey, these are maybe some issues or things you're going to run down the road that you might discover, you might not, but I'm just going to tell you anyway. You think the person should say, hey, this is what I really have that might come up, and it might not even come up, but do you think they should just say every dirty secret, or maybe not a dirty secret, negative thing about them before that process begins?
For us, and that's an excellent question, Tim. I think that it's like going to an attorney and not putting all your cards on the table, okay? Because what we try and tell our customers is, look, we work for you, okay? And so if you don't share something with us and we have to find out during the process, that means we're not on the same page or on the same team. We've got to take this, like, we're working on this as a team. So when you come to us, we like you to tell us, you know, the good, the bad, the ugly. You know, and typically in an executive summary, that's where I'd like you to, you know, in two or three or four or five bullets, you know, hopefully I hope I don't have four or five bullets. Maybe there's one or two things that you've had issues with. But, you know, it makes sense for you at that point just to tell us, you know, hey, I had this issue 2 years ago or 5 years ago. And, you know, briefly it's been resolved. You know, because when you do that and we do our review and we pull something up and something shows up on a Dunn's report or shows up somewhere, we're able to say, okay, yeah, he told us that. And then what we can do is when we put our story together and we do our review, we do our write-up for our investor, you know, we're able to let him know that, look, hey, here's the situation, but this is how it was fixed up, so we don't have an issue here. And it was disclosed up front. So, you know, it demonstrates integrity, and that's a key. I mean, the number one rule in financing is character, you know, and trying to determine a borrower's character is, will they repay that money? And if you can't tell me the truth up front, you're not going to pay for that money. And that's what banks want to know at the end of the day.
Okay, so for example, just like a job applicant, because some people are really afraid when they apply for something, they don't really want to give the whole story. They give you enough, but however, they say, well, that might be thinking badly of me. But you guys say, well, if you tell us that and you give us a good proposal that everything falls in line that we really need to see, well, maybe what the officer tells us some things that they might not come up with again. Tell us the whole story so we know what we face, because when you get that phone call, or something pops up and someone questioning you about it, say, hey, I do know about that. He did discuss that, and this was his answer.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Having all the facts is real important to us. Absolutely.
Okay. And taking that, what type of commercial loans that maybe some of them are subsidized with the government, some subsidized with this or that, kind of break down with us what type of financing programs, along with investors, that's offered?
As far as loans are concerned, anything over $4 million, you know, loan, we can look at and get done. There really, we don't like to say there is a max loan amount, because there really isn't a max loan amount. But, you know, as far as the type of asset these days, somebody came to us and wanted to buy a piece of land we couldn't help them with, you know. Somebody was looking for construction dollars and you know, just some of the harder type loans like that. We do have potential depending upon, you know, what the asset is and what exactly they're building. You know, is there a solid exit strategy? All those sort of, does the deal make sense? You know, we've got a couple of groups that will look at it. In short answer is that we can pretty much touch most assets today, from multifamily to office to hotel to, you know, pretty much touch most of the asset classes across the board. You know, we have a source for it as long as the deal makes sense based upon some of the things we've preliminarily discussed.
Okay. So if you look at the type of real estate loan that they can come up with, the deal makes sense, they're putting some good equity into the project itself, is there a minimum of 30% or 20% they must come up with in cash in order to fund that particular project, or you need really 30 to 40% today?
Today, I would say that, you know, if you have 30% to put in a deal, 30 to 40% to put in a deal, that you'll find the money, and it'll make sense. Now, depending, again, on the type of asset, if you're buying, a $30 or $40 million, you know, apartment building, and you can put, 15% down, and that's an example right there. You know, 10 or even 10%, 10 or 15% down is something that we can definitely look at for you. So, it depends on what is the asset, what are you trying to do, what's your situation like. We've also, as I mentioned earlier, that for us right now, the hottest asset comes down to the single tenant stuff where those strong leases exist. You know, on those sorts of deals, we can get very close to 100%, in a lot of cases even 100%. We can look at, for example, discounted notes. Discounted notes, you put 5% down, we can do those cookie cutter, you know, as long as some of the things fall in place there. So there, depending upon what it is that you're trying to do, which part of the country it's in, and as long as the deal makes sense and the spreads make sense, the ratios make sense, there's enough cash in it, there's enough after cash dollars left over, and the principals look decent, there's decent credit, you know, I think we're fine. I think we're going to be in a situation to put some of our, some of these deals to work.
Perfect. When you're talking about investing and financing, they're kind of tied in together, because we get to a certain dollar amount. Hey, now we need to bring an investor in here that's going to invest and who wants an equity position. Can I tell us the difference between when certain projects, you can get it financed, but however, you might also have to get an investor involved with that who wants a piece of the pie as well?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah, there are situations where, you need some sort of equity play in it. And obviously if someone, is coming to the table looking for a $10 million loan and, has only 10% to put down or 5% to put down, or really has no money to put down and is looking for someone to put that money down, well, that person putting down the money, as far as the equity player, is the risk taker. So that risk taker is going to be on a sort of a scale, a sliding scale. If they do 100% of the equity injection in a deal to get you the debt, what's probably going to happen is you're probably looking, at them taking, 90% of the project, return on the project. And they'll probably, if you're lucky, some cases you're talking about potentially getting just the finder's fee, to make that happen. But if you're able to, say, put, 10 or 15% down and you're short another 10 or 15%, there are equity players out there that we can bring to the table that will work some reasonable ratios with you. We can help you put the JVs together, joint venture agreements together to make some of those things happen. So it depends on what the circumstances are, what the asset class is, and, what the taste right now is on the market. Can they be done? Yeah, they can be done. but you know, you got to ask yourself at what risk.
Okay. Last couple of questions which everyone person is asking about bridge financing. What's the difference between bridge, mezzanine, and hard money?
Okay. Bridge money basically is you have a project that you're going to do that you have a lender that's going to give you the loan, say, in 8 months, and you need money right now. The money that you need right now, you need someone that's going to be able to come to the table and say, look, I can give you the money. You need to pay me back in 3 months or in 6 months, but you need to have a clear exit strategy. What that basically means is you now have an end loan in place, or you have a lender, like, I'll just throw out some names. Let's say Bank of America gives you an approval for, you know, a $50 million loan, you know, but they can't give you the loan till for 8 months. And so you need to start your project. You need $20 million loan to start your to start the project, to break ground and get the ball going. Well, a bridge lender could come in and say, look, I'll give you that $20 million, but I need it back within 6 months or 7 months. So, but with the understanding that your $50 million Bank of America loan is going to take them out. So the guy who's coming in to give you that interim money is your bridge. A mezz loan is like a second lien holder on the note. In other words, you've got a $50 million total encumbrance. $30 million is the first position. Your mezz is your second position, second player. A lot of, in these markets, it's hard to find mezz loans because of the way the market is and everything else. But are they out there? Yes, you bet. We have access to them, but they're not easy to find. So the differences are, a bridge guy is the guy who gives you the immediate money with the idea, it's short-term money, that you're going to pay him back with a clear, I mean, your exit has to be so clear and crystal clear, they have to feel comfortable that at the end of that 6 months or 12 months that your end loan is going to take place and take him out, or your exit lender is going to take him out. Now, as far as a hard money lender is concerned, these are guys that can do some pretty creative things, you know, but it's expensive money. You know, you're probably in this market, you're going to pay 10, 14, 16%, you know, on that money, you know, depending upon what you're looking for and, mm-hmm. you know, what your cash position is in. And they actually, to give you a scenario, is that they actually will come and somehow replace your equity player. When I say replace your equity player, they typically will help you reduce that exposure, you know, from a standpoint that, you know, you'll probably pay less money to them for them to come in and charge you 15% or 14% than you will an equity player that'll come in and probably want to take the entire project or 80 or 90% of it. So hard money lenders is just more expensive dollars that you're paying for. They can do some creative things. It depends what it is that you're trying to do. And these days with hard money lenders, you still do need to put some cash into the project. The days of them doing 100% of it are over. They will not do it these days, because obviously for obvious reasons. You know, with what's happening with the market, we've got close to $2 trillion of dollars that's coming, notes that are coming due over the next 2 years, that there is no exit for. You know, there is no end plan
wow.
for them as far as how they're going to be paid out. So just a lot of notes going to be hitting the market that's going to need refinancing or need something, but there's no end play out, and that hasn't even hit the U.S. market yet. So just imagine, if you think the residential deal is a big deal, get yourselves ready for a real storm for what's about to hit. So those things work into how and where some of these banks are making decisions and how they'll fund or what they won't fund and that sort of thing.
Okay, great. Tell us about your company and the other projects that you guys normally handle.
Okay. The company name is actually Creedmont LLC. And
okay.
Creedmont basically is a commercial real estate investment and finance company, and also an advisory firm. So we do some process improvement. We have a division that does strictly advisory, and it's Six Sigma and the whole bit. But a large portion is the commercial real estate piece, which, you know, focuses, again, a lot on the multifamily discounted notes and the single-tenant stuff that, you know, I talked about earlier is a big part of what we do. We constantly looking for folks that are looking to buy. So we basically bring buyers of discounted notes, buyers of single-tenant, buyers of all different types of assets, and sellers of the same assets. We bring them together and create a marketplace for the transfer to take place between those two parties. So you could just call us more as a clearinghouse from that standpoint. I don't like to use that term because it sends the wrong message. But very simply, we bring buyers and sellers together of assets and make that transition smoothly occur. So, yes, we're constantly looking for folks that, you know, have the capital to bring to the table that are looking for particular returns. We'd love to talk to you. We also love to talk to the folks that are looking to buy. And so we play that role in that arena, and of course then we have the ability and the sources to provide the financing piece as well.
Okay. And how do we what's your website address again?
Creedmont.com. That's CREEDMONT.com. You can also send me an email. That's not a problem. At my first initial S, A as an apple, MOAKO at Creedmont.com with all your questions, or, you know, if you've got a deal you'd like me to look at or like us to look at, just send me an executive summary, one or two or three or four page executive summary of what you've got. Let me look at it, and we'll get back to you within 72 hours with a response. Any assets that you've got that you want us to see, you can send it there as well. And we've got people that will look at that and get back to you.
Okay. And what's the minimum amount that you will look at?
On the financing side, $4
million.
On
okay.
The single tenant, if you, you know, or let's say a Walgreens or whatever other asset, you know, it, you know, minimum $10 million, you know, and,
okay.
We like to see the larger assets, but, you know, if you've got some smaller stuff, you know, we'd like to see them. And typically, you know, if anything that you've got that's listed on the market, we're probably not the place to come. In other words, if you jump on LoopNet and pull something up, you know, we're not your player, you know. But
okay.
If you've got something that you've got access to that is probably sitting at a 7 or 8 cap, you know, that you want to talk to us, we'd be very happy to talk to you and see what we can do and make happen. Or if you've got some assets that you want to unload or whatever, you know, we'd love to talk to you as well. So.
Okay. And that website address again, one last time?
It is creedmont.com. That's CREEDMONT.com.
Perfect. And the telephone number if they need to reach out to you?
Is 678-923-8417. Again, that's 678-923-8417.
Perfect. Any last words you'd like to leave us with?
Well, no. I mean, I thank you, Tim, for your time. I really appreciate it. I think that it couldn't be a better time for folks to start looking into it. I mean, if you're not looking at commercial real estate today, you do need to look at it. There's a lot of opportunity today in that market. If you've got some cash that you're able to put into this thing, it's definitely something to look at. And we have access to some pretty nice situations out there, so, and some pools in that too. So we'd love to talk to anyone that's interested. And, Tim, again, I appreciate your time, and we'd be happy to talk to anyone that wants to talk further.
Great. I think we're supposed to be talking with another week or so. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, on the
okay.
On our advisory services, absolutely. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Okay, no problem. I think that show is sometime, I think, Monday or so. But thank you. I really appreciate you coming onto the program and kind of explaining about commercial real estate financing. You kind of scared us for a moment because we thought we'd seen all the issues with the mortgages now. We have a lot of balloon payments going to be due in the next few years. So whoever gets the White House, you still have your work cut out for you.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you for coming on the program, Stephen. I look forward to talking to you later.
Thank you, sir. Have a good one.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye. Again, it's been another production of The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. You can download this episode on iTunes on Blog Talk Radio, or you can get some highlights of the show on blog.applecapitalgroup. Everybody, thank you for listening, and have a great day. Take care.
Thank you for listening to The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. For a free quote on equipment leasing and financing, visit our website, applecapitalgroup.com. That's applecapitalgroup.com. And fill out the information to receive your free quote. We hope you'll join us for our next episode. And remember, you can always get to The Core via iTunes. You'll find all our previous episodes there. Thanks again for listening to The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.